So if you pull out a dollar bill and on it are three words, what are those three words? Really? Is that legal? Can they do that? Right now they can. In God we trust. What's that? All others pay cash. Okay, I see. I haven't heard that. Okay. Yeah, in God we trust. Do we? Okay, we should. So, is there anything in life that you're worried about? Nancy says, not a thing. It doesn't do any good. Anxiety is the stopping block of life. Now, I think some people worry because of temperament. Some people wrestle with insecurity because they've been roughed up by life. Things have happened, and they're going to learn from it, right? Aren't you? You know? Some people feel pains of anxiety because of the fear around them. They live alone, maybe, or they've lost a spouse, and it's can be scary sometimes in those kinds of situations, right? And I think all of us know the distress of anxiety. We've been there. We've been anxious about something that's going on that we would like to change, but we can't change. This past week, I've been struggling with that myself. Wanting to change something, knowing full well that I can't change it. And so, what do you do with it? Well, Jesus is going to help us with this. The disciples had some common feelings as well about things that they didn't have control over. They were anxious about. They were itinerant missionaries. They had given up their jobs. Imagine that. Imagine if you decided one day that you're going to follow this Jesus who comes along and you are going to give up your work in order to do it. And so now you have no source of income. And they would anxiously say on many occasions, Lord, where are we going to get this? Or where are we going to get that? They lived without normal trade. Naturally, they were concerned about what they would eat. In Mark chapter 8, they found on their boat only one loaf of bread, and they said, we have no bread. They faced some special circumstances. They lived in insecurity, no regular income. Even Jesus confessed that he kept for himself no place to lay his head. He left family, occupation, and he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. I remember when I started in ministry, and I was at a little church, and my mom said, how does it pay? And I said, well, actually, it doesn't. What we do is we take up a collection, and Fanny is the treasurer. And so Fanny and I, after the service, count the money. And then Fanny writes the checks. And so she will write the check for the electric bill, and she will write the check for the gas bill. And we've counted the money, and we've made the deposit. And then whatever's left over after all the checks are written, that's what I get. And my mom said, how much is that? Well, sometimes we have to put money back in it. Fanny will say, we're $20 short. If you give 10, I'll give 10. She said, what kind of a job is that? And I said, well, it's truly a non-profit organization. Would you leave everything and let it all go and just trust in God? we don't have any bread. He said in Matthew 6:25, don't be anxious about anything. Don't have any anxiety about anything. Because all it does is it makes you find security in your own efforts instead of in God. We can't allow, according to Jesus, anxiety about the future to master our lives. In fact, in our text, Jesus gives us several ideas about how to deal with the worry in your life. Anybody here dealing with worry? This means yes, this means no. Well, first, let me tell you, he tells us to focus on the present. This is verse 34. I love this. Take the end of the passage first. Focus on today, okay? Focus on the present. If you center your life on where you are now, it can be a really strong strategy for dealing with anxiety about the future. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about the next day, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Let the hardships of the day be sufficient. So, in other words, let the troubles of today be enough, right? Deal with the difficulties that you're dealing with now. So center on your responsibility. What does that do when you center on your responsibility for now? When you're focused on taking care of what you need to take care of, does that make you busy? Got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to take care of this. I'm doing what I need to do today. And then the anxiety perhaps will lessen itself as you begin to focus on the activities that are present for today. Don't borrow trouble from the future. Okay? Do you get that? I'm borrowing trouble from the future. If the truth were known, I think we too often worry about things that never happen. Has that ever happened to you, where you've worried about something and then it never did ever happen? Some of you are smiling as you're shaking your head because you do remember, and maybe you're doing that even now. It's a great story. An old monk carved some words on the wall of a prayer cell. He wrote, I'm an old man. I have had lots of trouble, and most of it never happened. I love that. Most of us really need to abandon this sense of anxiety because it doesn't achieve anything for us. It's not going to achieve anything. The passage opens up this great truth about living abundantly in the present. We recognize what God is doing in the here and now is not ravaged by this fearful thoughts about what's going to happen in the future. Learn the art of living a day at a time. How about that? A day at a time. John Wesley preached on the passage urging Christians to live for today, and he said, the future is nothing to you, it's not yours, and it may never be. Christian leader Bonhoeffer, commenting on verse 34, said, this is a seldom practiced phrase for the serious disciple. Live every day as if it were your last. Now you know who said that. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He died for his faith. Live every day as if it were your last. Genuine alternative to paralyzing anxiety is the secret living one day at a time. Do you know the song? Anybody know the song, One Day at a Time? We should have sung that, shouldn't we? One day at a time. Yeah. Since yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never be mine, Lord, help me today. Show me the way one day at a time, right? Try singing a song. It's a prayer, by the way. I don't know if you realize it or not, but most of our hymns are prayers. And so when the choir sings them, pray them, right? It's a prayer. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. So we focus on the present, but the passage also says to focus on God. And this is the second part. So to deal with anxiety, you focus on today, and the second part is you focus on God. Your primary method of living a daily life is going to come through God. Who gave you life? Do you think you gave you life? Did anybody here do anything in order to get life? No. Who gives you the air to breathe? Do you give yourself the air to breathe? I know some of us not so good, especially when I'm around with a cigar. My wife said, air is not so good. God, give me fresh air, you know. So who gives us the air? It's God. God gives us the air to breathe, right? Who gives us everything we have and everything we need in order to live? God. So you focus on God, and you look to God, for God's the source of life, and God is the source of living. We have a focus on living our life for God. And that comes through prayer. What's the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day what? Well, I'm worried about tomorrow's bread. Now we focus on God to give us this day our daily bread. Right? Give us what we need today, in other words. That's basically what you're praying, isn't it? Lord, I just need for you to give me what I need to get through today. Can't be worried about tomorrow. So satisfy the daily needs of life and don't worry about how we're going to provide for the needs of tomorrow. Scripture's full of prayers about anxiety. I've been looking at several of them, going through some difficult times myself this week and praying over several scripture passages, and several of them came to mind. I love this one, 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. So as you're worried about things and you're feeling anxiety, you cast that on God. Give to God your worry. Cast your feelings upon Him. All of us should mark or memorize Philippians 4:6-7. Do you know that verse? If you need some scripture passages about worry, you can write these down. 1 Peter 5:7, Philippians 4:6-7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall be yours in Christ Jesus. Right? So there are scripture passages that are going to help us. And one of the things that we do when we're feeling anxious about things or we feel like we don't have control about something is you look to God's Word, and God will help you. God's going to give you some direction and some ways to help you to deal with the trouble and the anxiety and the worry that you have in your life. And He's going to assure you that He's there for you. I would also encourage you to do this. If you can, memorize some of these passages of Scripture. I know we think, oh, memory verses, that's what you do when you're a kid. Well, you do that when you're an adult too. And if you haven't memorized these, memorize them. And a good way to memorize Scripture, there are two places that you go all the time. You know where you go? You go to the refrigerator. I don't know if you realize that or not, but you go there a lot, just so you know. And you also go to the mirror in your bathroom. You go there a lot. More than you know, you go there, and you're looking at yourself. And so there are two places that you can put these scripture verses. Just write them on a little piece of card, just a little piece of paper, and write the scripture verses out. I guarantee you, in about 2 weeks, you'll have the verses memorized. You know why? Because you'll be looking at them all the time. And it's just constantly looking at this verse of Scripture. And so I really want you to do this, to put the Word of God in your heart, because you want God to help you and direct you as you're living your life, don't you? Isn't that why you're here? You want God to help you. Well, I can tell you the best way to let God help you is not to listen to me, but listen to His Word, because His Word is going to help you more than I can ever help you. I guarantee you, God's Word will speak to your heart in ways that nothing else can speak to your heart. And if you put God's Word in your heart, in your mind, and you think about it and focus on it and pray over it, it will have an influence over how you live your life. Guaranteed. And I believe that's why you're here. You want God to have a difference, to make a difference in your life. So let God's Word dwell within you. Okay? Memorize some scripture. You've memorized some in the past. You can do it. All of us can and should. I love the story by F.W. Borum, an elderly man who took all his cares to God in prayer. The pastor made a call. It tells the story about making a call to see him in the hospital. And he was in the hospital bed, and there was a chair that was sitting next to the hospital bed, and the pastor came in, and he started to sit in the chair, and he said, no, don't sit there. The pastor said, oh, okay. Is somebody else coming in? No, he said, that's where Jesus sits. And when I pray, I just talk to him like he's sitting there in the chair. And he is. His daughter called a couple days later and said, wanted to let you know, Pastor, we need your assistance. My father died. He said, I saw your father, and he said, I talked with him, and he was a very strong Christian man. She said, yes, he had a deep faith. And then she began to tell him, you know, there was a chair sitting next to his bed. And his pastor said, oh, yes, I know. Well, when the nurse came in, she found him slumped over, and his head was laying in that chair. He said, I'm not surprised. Lay your prayers upon Him. Lay your concerns upon Him. Lay your burdens upon Him. Take your anxiety to God. He, more than any other, cares for you. And third, seek the kingdom. The secret to defeating anxiety lies in obedience to the will of God. When we start putting the Lordship of Christ first in our lives, when we say, you know, I want to live my life and I want to live my life for God, then God becomes our focus, but not just in our mind, but in our actions. And so you live seeking the kingdom of God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he offered this dynamic, positive counterpart. What was the counterpart? What happens if when you seek first the kingdom of God? Wow. So you mean if I focus on living my life for God's kingdom, then these other things that I'm worried about will be taken care of? Yeah. Because I'm focused on living my life for God. Not for me, but for God. One commentator, Edward Skelebeck, says the verse is the central theme of the whole New Testament. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That, he says, is the summary of the entire New Testament. God's intention that we live our lives and give ourselves completely to God without reservations to the pursuit of the kingdom of God. In other words, that money on that you read, when you take it out, look at it, it says trust in God, right? Trust in God. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? And so once we settle the question of what it is that has priority in our lives, then we can put everything else in its proper place. Our concern in life is not so much how can I bring about security for myself, but how can I serve God? How can I live my life for God? How can I use the gifts that I have to make a difference for God and the world? When all is said and done, wouldn't you like to have thought that you made a difference in the world for God? Really? Or do you just want to pile up stuff for yourself? One other alternative to anxiety is trusting in the providence of God. Fourth thing. One of the charms of the Bible is constantly reminding us that we're living in a world where the grass grows green, the lilies bloom, the birds sing. Christ was drawing this picture from the lessons of nature that God takes care of everything, that God provides for everything. And certainly if God provides for all of these other things, do you think that God's not going to provide for you too? And so you look to God, who is your creator, your provider, your savior, your sustainer. Have you got others? How does God do this? And you think, God is the creator. God's my creator. God's the creator of the world. And considering the lilies, the disciples are taught about living provisionally. For all of us, provisions have been taken care of. We slow down. We ponder what we have and all the good things God gives us. And think about the beauty of God's creation. Slow down, folks. Slow down and look around you. Breathe the air. Look at the flowers. Enjoy what God has done and be reminded that God's in charge. You're not. God is. And I tell you, said Jesus, not even Solomon in all his gorgeous splendor was ever dressed up like a single one of these. Jesus invites us to have this confidence, trusting the Father who supplies all the needs of his creation. So you're free from this. You don't have to live a life churned up by worry. You don't have to. Be free from it. July 4th is coming, right? Freedom, right? You want freedom? Trust in God. The anxiety and the struggles will block you from enjoying life. And you don't need that. So what is it that's worrying you? What are you anxious about? Can you pray? One day at a time? God, I'm going to focus my life on you and on your kingdom. I'm going to trust that you've taken care of the rest of the world. You're surely going to take care of me. Can you do that? Give it to the Lord. God will take care of you. Let's pray together. God, we know it's not instant magic, but when we look back on our life, we also know that we face some difficulties, but you've always been there for us, and we believe that you'll be as faithful in the future as you've been in the past. You've always provided, and you always will. Help us to calm our spirits and our souls, to rid ourselves of the anxiety that troubles us, so that we can live fuller lives for you. We thank you, God, for your presence here with us now and your presence with us later. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.